Good to see this number out this morning. We have some guests with us, and we're grateful that you're here. I want to encourage you to open your Bible with us and study with us. Among those visiting is my mother-in-law. Good to see Rick Carroll's family with us and others, and we're just delighted you're here this morning. If you take your Bible and turn with me to the Old Testament, to the book of Jeremiah and the 20th chapter, that's where we'll begin our study in just a moment. And while you're getting settled, we want you to know that in a few moments we'll be standing and singing the song that Brother Craig has suggested. If you've never put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready. There's clothing here, the baptistry's filled, and upon your confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we'll then immerse you into Christ for the remission of sin. In the book of Jeremiah, in the 20th chapter, I want to read one verse to get the thought for our study, and that's in verse 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. When you look at Jeremiah, the prophet of God, you remember he was known as the weeping prophet. And that man, at the time that he lived, had a lot to weep over. Here was a man who lived during a time of rebellion, and the people of God were not doing as they ought. They were not following the law of God, and they were living in rebellion. And thus, when Jeremiah looked out, the man wept over the sins of the nation. Jeremiah was heartbroken by the ways of his people. But if you take your Bible, I want you to think about that statement that he said in verse 9. And I want you to think about what we might identify as a rash statement when he said, I will not mention him anymore. If you have your Bible, you might make note of that or underscore that statement where Jeremiah said, I will not make mention of him. Here is a man that has become so discouraged in the proclamation of the Word of God because the more he preached, the more the people seemed to rebel. And this man makes a statement in haste. It's what you might call a rash statement. He made this statement when he was discouraged. He made this statement without giving much thought. And he said to himself, I'm not going to make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. And I've often thought about how often we can make what you might identify as a rash statement. A statement made off the cuff, a statement made in anger, a statement perhaps made in discouragement, and when we make such a statement, it can come back to haunt us. I want us to think about that there are others who made such statements, and they were sudden statements, and they were given without much thought. If you take your Bible, look back in the book of Job and the 3rd chapter, and you remember that after Job had lost all that he had as Satan was tempting him and God had permitted it, and he'd lost his health, he'd lost his children, he'd lost his property. Job comes down in the 3rd chapter and he opens his mouth. And notice what this man said. In Job 3 and verse 1, he cursed the day of his birth. He says in verse 3, May the day perish on which I was born, and the night in which it was said, a male child is conceived. My friend, he cursed the day that he was born. He cursed the day they said a male child was brought into the world. And he said this when he was in great pain. He made that statement when he was suffering. There was great pain racking his body and mind. And that man, in that moment, said, cursed is the day of my birth. Cursed is the day and the mouth that said, a male child is born. That man, in a moment of hurt, and a moment of great overwhelming pain, said something rash. But then if you take your Bible for just a moment, turn with me to the 31st Psalm. And when you come to the 31st Psalm, notice with me a statement made by David. In Psalm 31, David, the man of God, the man who's even said after God's own heart, makes a statement down in verse 22. He said, For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before your eyes. Now look at that statement. David even said, I said it in haste. What is it you said, David? He said that God is not watching over me, that I've been cut off from the eyes of God. David, in a moment of fear, maybe in a moment as he's being chased or pursued, he says at that time, God is not watching over me. I have been cut off before his eyes. And David, at a time that he was discouraged and depressed and low, makes a statement. So we can observe Jeremiah, we can observe Job, and we can observe David, all making statements in a moment of hurt, anger, discouragement, or depression. But now then, if you take your Bible, look, if you will, in the book of Malachi. And when you come to the book of Malachi, I want you to think about another way that somebody can make a statement. In the book of Malachi, you'll recall that at this time, the people had come back from captivity. And they weren't appreciative of all the blessings of God. But if you look in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 13, notice that it says, God, as he speaks to the people, your words have been harsh against me. Now, if you have your Bible, underscore the word harsh. And I want you to think about that at this time, he's saying your words are strong. So a person can make what you might call a rash statement, and a person can make what you might call a harsh statement or a strong statement. And this time, the statement was against the God of heaven. Now then, when you go back to the book of Jeremiah, I want you to think about the statement that he made. He made a statement, and it was direct rebellion from what God told him to do. God had told him to go and to preach to the people. And he said, I'm not longer going to even mention his name. My friend, that is a stout statement, a harsh word indeed, to make such a declaration. What Jeremiah is saying is, I am done. I quit. These people are rebellious, they're hard-headed, and I'm not getting anywhere with them, and I'm just finished trying to preach the word to them. Now, why would he make that statement, though? What was it that he had gone through? Well, go back to the book of Jeremiah and the 20th chapter. And when you come to the book of Jeremiah and the 20th chapter, you'll find that this man had been through a lot. Go back up to verse 2. And you see where Pashur had struck Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of God. He was a man who'd been smitten by the son of a priest. And not only was he smitten, but he was put into the stocks as a vile person. And not only that, it was in the high gate where the people would pass by and be able to mock him and belittle him. Then if you have your Bible, drop down to verses 7 and 8. And notice he said, I've been made a laughingstock. He says in verse 7 that the people have, I am in derision daily. Everyone mocks me. For when I spoke, I cried out. I shouted violence and plunder because the word of the Lord was made to me a reproach and a derision daily. And that word derision just means laughing stock. He said everywhere they go, they're laughing at me. They're mocking me. He said they are belittling me. And so here is a man who's discouraged. Then you think about what he says down in verse 10. I've heard many mocking, fear on every side. Everywhere he goes, he said, people are belittling me. And they're looking to overthrow me. He said, I've been scorned, I've been mocked, I've been made fun of. And it's all due to my stand for the Lord. And so this man gets so discouraged, he makes a rash, harsh statement. He is saying, I quit. I will make no more mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But you know, my friend, we need to be quick to stop and ask ourselves, have we ever done that? Now, a lot of people are quick to condemn this man, but how many of us have been just as guilty? How many of us, when we're going through a trial, are people who are quick to want to quit? But that thinks about something else. Could you think about the statement that he makes right after that? In verse 9, he said, but his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. You ever thought that this man said, I'm not going to do it anymore, but because the word was so ingrained in him and because he knew that this was God's will for him to make this proclamation, that even in dire distress, that man could not help but preach the word. His heart was so filled with the word that it burned within him like a burning fire. He said, it was shut up within my bones and I was tired of trying to hold it back. And he said, I couldn't hold it back. I had to keep preaching. I had to keep warning the people. It reminds you of the statement made in Luke 24 when verse 32, when the disciples said, did not our hearts burn within us? So when a person is filled with the word, one cannot help but speak that which is truth. He could not hold it back. He became weary trying to do so. Open your Bible, if you will, kindly to the 32nd Psalm. And when you come to the 32nd Psalm, you remember David after his sin. He talked about how he had gone so long trying not to think about the sin. And notice what he says in verse 3. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. David said, when I kept silent, it was hurting me. Just like Jeremiah said, my bones were on fire, David said, my bones grew old. I had to make the confession of my sin. I had to go to God. I had to go to Him and acknowledge I was wrong so that I could receive His forgiveness. You ever thought, my friend, it hurt him not to speak truth when he was overflowing with it? I want to take that. I want to make application in the lesson journey. The first thing is, how many of us have been guilty of making rash statements today? Maybe you say, I quit, I'm angry, I'm discouraged, I'm hurt. And how many make rash statements in a moment of hurt or anger, and they say things they wish they'd never said, things that they may not mean? Now, they may have meant it at the time they said it, but they realized what they said, and then they're sorry and regret it. How many have made harsh statements? Hurtful words. To say, I'm going to quit serving the Lord. In Malachi 3:13 that we read just a moment ago, they made harsh words against God and accused God of doing wrong. Can you imagine a people that would accuse God of doing wrong because they wanted to live wickedly? And they said, it's useless to serve God. You know why they said that? They were so wrapped up in the world, they didn't see spiritual blessings. And I'll tell you, my friend, there are a lot of people who are so wrapped up in this world, their mind is never upon spiritual things. But that brings up something else. Why do we make such rash statements? I'll tell you the first reason. We let our feelings take over and don't think about what we're saying. In a moment of anger, you can say something that you don't mean. Like David said, in my haste I said, God is not watching over me. In a moment of rage, though, we can say something and it can divide a local church. We need to be careful. Remember what James said about the tongue. It's a small instrument, but a powerful instrument. And I'll tell you, my friend, with our words we must be careful that in a moment we don't cause a problem at Eastside. That in a moment of anger, we don't pop off and say something that could cause a division. But I'll tell you something else. Have you ever said something in a moment of haste? Have you ever made a rash statement? I'll be honest with you, I have. There's been times just like Jeremiah, I said, I might as well quit preaching. What good's it doing? You can't get people to listen today. And you can't get people to obey. No one cares. You might as well do something else. But I'll tell you something. If the word is in you, you can't help but keep preaching. You can't help but keep teaching. As people of God, if the word is within you, you can't help but share the good news with somebody else. It's so much a part of you that it comes out in your daily talk. And I'll tell you what some of us need to do. We need to return and let the Word burn in our hearts. We need to study. We need to pray. We need to have a deeper love for God. And the way we get to that deeper love is through study and prayer. Because people with no love for God see worship as wearisome. In Malachi chapter 1, you'll remember when Malachi was talking and he makes a statement to the people. He said in verse 13, you also say, oh, what a weariness, and you sneer at it. You want to know something? If worship is boring to you and worship is wearisome to you, I'll tell you what the problem is. You do not have the love of God like you should. You don't have the Word in your heart like you should, and you can change that. Because if you love God, you can't help but speak about God. You'll be like those individuals in Luke 24. Our hearts will burn within us, and zeal for His cause will consume us. And we need to remember, as we talked about in Bible class this morning, in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 19, not to grow weary. Remember what Paul said in the Galatian letter and the 6th chapter when he was writing to the churches throughout Galatia. He wanted them not to grow weary in well-doing. He said in chapter 6 and verse 9, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. That's the biggest part right there. The heart of the matter. Have you ever felt like quitting? I'll tell you what will keep you from quitting. Let the Word burn within you. Let us draw near to God. Repent of statements that have hurt His cause. And make great statements like, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's a statement that is thought out. That's a statement of faith. That's a statement that says, I believe He's been raised from the dead and He sits at the right hand of God. And if you believe in Jesus, my friend, you would act upon your faith. You would be baptized or you'd be restored. You'd say, I will not quit serving my God, because His Word burns within you. If you need to make your life right this morning, our prayer.